welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Good evening, good afternoon, everybody. It is so nice to see all of you here today. Who had a great holiday? Let's see a show of hands. It's about half of us, so hallelujah. If you had a superb holiday, how did it naturally go? Give me a whoop, whoop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to Show for Pretoria. It is such a great honor, blessing to have all of you here. There's a lot of new faces that I see here today, but yet again, I do not know everyone, as I'm still a relatively new face here. But I hope you feel welcome. I hope someone gave you a big hug when you came here. And I hope you had some water to drink before you came in, because it is quite hot. Hallelujah. So, over this past holiday, I myself went a bit down to the Southern Cape to George. And also from there went to the South Coast in Marga, just to have a real good and blessed time of sleeping and relaxing and swimming. And I hope and I pray that a lot of you also had the privilege just to take some time out and rest between all the having fun and all of that. And if you have not had time to rest, I pray that the Lord will supernaturally just give you that rest only He can do, so that we will be ready for 2014 and everything this year holds in for us. Hallelujah. My name is Christy, for those who haven't met me yet. I'm the student pastor of this congregation, and I myself am very excited, very expectant, and in a way a little bit afraid of what 2014 will hold in. But I assure you that being a bit afraid is not a fearful one. It is just knowing that God is so big that sometimes my mind, or most of the times my mind, is just way too small to fathom what it is that He wants to do. Let's pray before I go any further. Thank you, Father God, for today, Lord, for this time, Lord, that we can spend in your word, God, and just again, Lord, for this amazing privilege which we have to gather here today and not be afraid at all, to just proclaim your name, Jesus, out loud. And Father, we love you, Father God, and we know that your word is truth, your word is eternal. And Father, I just bring myself before you, Lord, and I pray, God, that you will guide every single word that will depart from my mouth, Lord. That it will come straight from your hearts and your mouth, Lord, and that it will bring life, Lord. It will bring fruit, Father God, that because we want to walk out of here today, Lord, being changed, Father God. We don't want to walk out being the same, Lord. We want to be more like you, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let me just see again a show of hands. Whose first time is it here tonight? Wow. Let's give them a clap of hands again. Over this past holiday, I tried to spend as much time in the Word and in prayer and at God's feet. But I didn't get to it as much as I wanted to, because I believe you need to, in a new year, get a word, get a promise, get a scripture from God to hold on to. To find security in, to be expectant about. And who of you have spent some time to hear what God wants to do in 2014, not only in you, but through you and around you? Did we all receive a promise from God? Did we all receive a scripture from God? What is it that we are holding on to for 2014? Are we just entering this year saying, okay, great, the war did not fade away in 2012. Let's see if it will still be here at the end of this year. Or are we really excited to see what God wants to do? What is it we are holding on to? Did God say He wants to do X, Y, and Z? Did He say nothing has to change? What did God say to us? And I hope that if there are some of you here today that do not have a promise, that do not have a word, that do not have something to look forward to and to measure yourself against at the end of the year, I'd really trust God and the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us and to minister to us tonight, that we'll walk out here and be even more excited about 2014 than which we already are. Because I don't see a tired face in this room. So I know that you all are amped, you all are rested out, and that you all are in awake, expecting God to do something new, in a sense. And personally, God has, amongst other things, He told me I should spend a lot more time in prayer this year. Prayer for the leadership, for the ministries, for every single person in this church, and to do it a lot. And when God gave me this word, I immediately was led to the Gospels, to the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, to where Jesus taught His disciples how to pray. And let's quickly look at the scripture in Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the Lord has really laid it on my heart to have this as a foundation in my prayer life. And I'm sure that when the disciples ask Him, Lord, how should we pray, that He wouldn't give this as an answer just to satisfy them. No, He would give this as the answer because this is a key and this is the foundation of any prayer life. So today we're going to look a bit at that scripture, look at God, look at His promises, and a bit of His character. Because if there's one thing, one constant thing that we can hold on to this year, it is only Christ and Christ alone. Everything else will fail us. Everything else will disappoint us. But Christ will never fail. He will never disappoint. And He will never leave us. Hallelujah. So this prayer begins with Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be Your name. I looked a bit at this word hallowed. And I'm sure all of us have a bit of a sense of what this word means to, you know, Lord, holy be Your name. We revere Your name. Your name is precious. Your name is secure, which is all those things. But I looked a bit deeper into the word to truly understand what it is and what it means when I say, hallowed be Your name. And what I came across is that we're asking that God's essential being of holiness will be revealed in everything that expresses who He is. Know that all things are created through God, by God. All creation was made by Him. And so everything that was created was meant to glorify His name, to bring praise, to bring worship to His name. And as we all know, that we are the most precious part of creation, because apart from everything else, we were created in God's image. And the same, we need to live lives that reflect Christ, that bring glory, that brings exaltation, that brings magnification to the name of God, because that is the purpose in which we were created. And we are dedicating everything we are, every relationship we have, everything that we have, to that glorification, exaltation of His name. When we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, we give God the permission to, in a sense, use us, to, in a sense, lead us, to align us, to bring that glorification, exaltation, and magnification to His name. And I'm sure all of us that are sitting here, our greatest heart's desire is to please God. It is that when we go home one day and we stand in heaven and we stand before God, that He will say, you have done well, my good and faithful servant. That He will say that you have made my name high. You have brought fame to my name. You lived the life reflecting Christ. And I'm sure that there are many of us that feel that way. I believe all of us do. But when we pray this prayer, it is not only saying, God, Your name is holy, it's great. With saying this, we give God the permission to enter into our lives, to use our lives. And this does remind me of the scripture in Matthew 6, verse 33, saying, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Because the second part of that, of Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray, is your kingdom come and your will be done. It means that God wants to use us, our lives, to be mediators and a connection point between this earth and between the kingdom of heaven. And I'm sure you all have heard the phrase saying that we are ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. And when ambassadors, let's say an ambassador of America works in another country, he still receives the salary that he would have received in America. He would live the lifestyle there that he would have lived in America, because that is where he came from. He's an ambassador from that country. And in the same way, when we are ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, how should we live? Should we live by the standards of this world? Or should we really be living a lifestyle that we are going to live in heaven one day? And in a sense, unfortunately, that is the correct one. Because God has created us in His image, because He has given us all power, He expects us to live here as we would live in heaven. You see, eternity has already started. It's not going to start when we died. It started the day we gave our lives to Christ. Because when we gave our lives to Christ, I'm sure you know that we say, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my soul. So that is, in a sense, we are dead and Christ is alive in us. So the same way we have resigned from the authority and the powers and the authority of this world, and we have stepped into the realm of heaven, the realm of eternity, the realm of all power. So when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, we pray this and say, Lord, we want to be the connection point between your kingdom and this earth. We want to see people getting saved. We want to see people being healed. We want to see people being set free, because in heaven there are no people bound. There are no people lost. There are no people sick. And I trust God that in this year, that excitement and expectancy for Him to be in us and be used through us will grow as well, so that wherever we walk, that even our shadows will heal people like the disciples just did. Because it's not about us, it's about the atmosphere which we carry around us. If we are so filled with the power of heaven and expectancies for it to be glorified and flowing through us, people will be saved just like by touching our clothes, the same as with Jesus. And I personally think that is really cool. How great would it be for people being healed in an instant just by us walking into a room? And this is not so that we can look great or cool or fancy. No, it's about the kingdom of God. And we know that we are all called to have God's kingdom come to this earth. And we can do that in a way which we aren't a bit blasé about it, or we can really get serious about it. And we will, so that we can be at a point where we say, God, I want everything, and not settle for 90%. That is not being arrogant, it's not being cocky, that is just accepting your birthright as a son and a daughter of God. God wants to be used 100% through us, in us. And my prayer is that this year, that each and every single one of us will walk deeper into that calling which God has for us to be used for His kingdom and the expansion thereof. When we also say, Lord, hallowed be your name, there's a bit of a separation between holiness and worldliness, evil. When we say, God, use us, there has to be a part of sanctification, but of setting apart our lives in order to be used effectively by Christ. Because God is holy, He's not where there is evil. So in a sense, it's also this responsibility from our side to truly say, Lord, yes, I do want to be used by you, but Lord, now I want you to show me which areas of my life I really need to lay down or even walk away from. Which areas do not honor your name, which areas do not reflect who you are. And this is usually the difficult part, at least for me it is, where God requires of me to lay down my comforts. Lay down the spot where I'm like, oh Lord, this is really a good place to be. Because I know when I'm at that place, it's not long before God tells me, I want you to go there. And it's not because he's playing games with us. No, it's because God is busy with each and every single one of us to sanctify us, to make us holy, and to make us presentable. It's the same as when we pray for our food. It's the same with having communion. It's just a thing of setting apart and remembering of who Christ is and what he has done so that we can be sanctified and have him be among us, be in us, work through us. And then out of this place, of this foundation of saying, Lord, you are everything. I give you permission to be everything and truly tell me what to do. It's out of this place out of which our daily needs then flow, our requirements, our food. Because that's the next part of the prayer that says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Do not lead us into temptation. Let us not be in a place where we are not set apart for your working. So this means it is a constant 24/7 type thing where we need to be heaven-minded if we truly want to be effective, if you truly want to be used effectively by God. And I'm sure that even though it sounds like a lot, even though it sounds like, oh, my comfort, I can assure you that what God wants to do through that, taking us out of our comfort, what he does out of that place is much more powerful. And then when we are in that place, we already have forgotten about where it is that we were. Because we have to truly and constantly look to where we want to go and where we want to be in Christ. And I believe and trust that that is our prayers. Prayer of, hallowed be your name. You are everything, God. Everything is in you, by you, through you, including us. And I trust the Lord that this also will be your foundation for prayer this year. That it will not be something we pray because we know it of heart even, or because we read it in the Word, but because we would be serious to be used this year. Yes, some of us study. Yes, some of us work. But we all know our primary calling is a Christian. And how great would it be if God would just present himself on campus, present himself in the workplace, present himself in our families, because we have given him that place of being first and number one. Because God knows best. He truly does. And we should just allow him to be God. And another thing, apart from learning how to pray again over this holiday, God has spoken to me a bit about promises. Do we each have a promise that we hold on to for this year? What is it that we hold on to? And I believe God wants to give each of one of us a promise or even scripture that we can hold on to, especially in the times of when things get difficult, when we get tired, or when it looks like this will never happen. That we will hold on to that word and that promise of God. And we can look at three examples out of the Old Testament. When Moses had to bring the Israelites out of Egypt, in Exodus 3 verse 12, God said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be will be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." We can also look at Joshua, when he had to lead Israel into the promised land. Joshua 1 verse 9 saying, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And exactly the same with Gideon in Judges 6 verse 6. And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." The same promise stands today where God says that I am with you. Do not be dismayed, but be strong, be courageous. I do not know what your situation is for this year, whether you are afraid or unsure, or it's a difficult year of studies ahead, whether you have a job that is frustrating, whether you have no job, whether you have money, no money. God is saying that wherever we are, in whatever situation we are, He is with us. And that is our security. I mean, it's a hectic thing when God approached Moses and said, this is what you have to do. You have to go against your own family and do all of this. But Moses was able to do it. And I'm pretty much sure it's not out of his own character, but it's because God was with him every step of the way. God never left him. He never forsake him. And exactly the same, He will never leave us nor forsake us this year. And I trust that we will have this confidence in us that whatever we are facing this year, we would walk in that place of confidence and boldness because we know that the God of gods is with us. And that we can hold on to the promise that He gives us so that we can measure at the end of the year what it is that God has done. How do you measure success? It's you have to have a beginning point and an end point. You have to have a goal. You have to be something you are aiming for. Because if you do not have it, then what are you aiming for, in a sense? Are you just taking this year by, I'm sure that we can say by faith, which is good. We need to do it by faith. But we also need to have a promise and a goal that we are working towards to. And as we're excited and as we are expecting for this year, we need to be serious about this year as well. Because if we say, God, use us this year, He will give us something that He wants to do, if not many things. And as I know God at this stage, those things are usually scary just because of the enormity of it, just because of the farness it is from where you are in your current position. It doesn't make sense of your heart, it doesn't make sense of your mind, but God says that this is what I want you to do. If we have to go back to Moses again for a brief couple of seconds, having God telling him, you have to go back to Egypt, go against your family, do all of these things, and deliver the Israelites. I mean, that is a big and daunting task. I think very little things in our own lives will compare to that and the enormity of it. But still, Moses did a successful job of it because of God that was in him and that worked through him. So with no doubt and with 100% surety, whatever promise, whatever goal it is that God lays before you, it shall come to pass if we hold on to Him and Him alone. Because God is good, God is big, He will never leave us, He will never forsake us. And as we also know that things very rarely are easy with when it comes to laying your life down for Christ. We all know what it requires to be a Christian. It requires everything. So when God gives us a promise this year, it does not mean that it will be easy to attain. It will not mean that there will be times of uncertainty, unsurety. No. But God wants to bring us to a place where we are just more dependent on Him. Because if we are not 100% dependent on God, on what are we dependent? Our own success, finances, even our husbands and wives, we are dependent on them to make these things happen. But no, we have to be 100% dependent on God. We all have heard the thing that God is a jealous God, and He truly is. God is the only one that has the right to expect every single thing from us because He gave every single thing to us. He gave us His Son. He gave us everything, so that we can be reconciled into a relationship with Him. God's presence is everything. If we do not have God, we have nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I'm sure and I know that all of us want to be rich at the end of this year, full of life at the end of this year, because of the time and the quality of the relationship that we have with Christ. That His presence will truly become tangible in our houses, in our reses, in our classes, in our workplaces. Because that is His heart's desire. He doesn't want to be invisible to us. He wants to be real. He wants to be tangible. And we should start praying. We should start aligning ourselves. And let's pray that 2014 will be the year for this. Because if it's not this year, the next thing, I suppose, is 2015. But I don't want to wait that long. So let's trust God to come and change our lives today, tonight, not tomorrow. Because we all know that we are living by grace alone. And some of us might not wake up tomorrow. We are not sure of what will happen in an hour, but we are sure of what is happening today and at this moment. And let's give it to God. Let's say, Lord, that we want to give you everything. And just as the same as God is the only one that has the right to require everything, most of those things are impossible, humanly impossible. But the presence of the Lord is the link to the impossible. His presence makes everything possible. You see, it's out of the place of intimacy with Him that we can truly move mountains, move our situations, and turn our lives around. So do we have a promise? If you are sitting here tonight and maybe you have wanted to spend time and get a promise or word from God, but have not gotten around to it, let's take a time tonight to do that. I really trust the Holy Spirit to come and to minister and give us something to hold on to, something to aim for, so that we can align ourselves to that point. Because if you do not have a little light in the darkness, we can easily be going in the wrong direction. And that means time wasted, which is never returned to us. So let's get serious about our lives in this year. Because I believe 2014 is the year of change. It's the year of God's name being glorified. And us walking more and more into the image of who Christ is. Hallelujah. Are you guys still awake? Okay. Standing in faith that you are. Right after Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he told them a little story of a man that in the middle of the night went to his friend's house to get 3 loaves of bread from him because he received a guest, an old friend that has traveled afar, and he had nothing in his own house to set out for him to eat and to enjoy. So when he got to his friend's house, his friend said, "Oh, I'm in bed with my wife and my kids. I don't really want to get up because I'm sure he doesn't want to wake his kids up, I suppose." But I'm sure because of this friend's impudence, this guy got up eventually and he gave him what he required. I believe that is the reason, or he would just be maybe afraid of what the people might say the next day, that he did not help his friend. But then Jesus, after that, says that more than that friend helped the other friend out, he will help us out whenever we require it. Because straight after that, in Luke 11, verse 9 to 10, Jesus said, "Not so you ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." I think that is a really good scripture to hold on to, or to take as truth. I'm sure everyone would agree that Jesus is not a liar, he is not a deceiver. So what he said here is absolute truth. Jesus gives us a promise that whenever we shall seek Him, we will find Him. Whenever we will knock at the door, He will open it up. And whatever we would require, that He would give it to us. And the same way, when we will approach God tonight and say, "Lord, we want a promise, we want something to hold on to," He will give it to us because He promises that He will reveal Himself when we seek Him. But apart from this being in a prayer context, this must also be a resemblance of our lives. Do we, in our daily life, see Christ? How often do we go back and say, "Lord, I want more of you. I want more of your character. I want more of who you are." And God will all be faithful, and He will reveal and give to us more of Him. God always replies when we speak to Him. You see, but many times the problem is myself. When I ask God something or when I trust Him to come through, many times, me personally, I've been the cause of a delay for God's will happening because I expect God to speak to me in a certain way or to reveal Himself in a way that I want Him to. God has not danced to my request or standards in a sense. He's God and He reveals Himself in whichever way He wants to. You see, especially us guys, we like to put things in boxes. And we even have a nothing box, apparently, I've heard many times. Have any other guys heard that? That we have a nothing box? Apparently, when we look into a fire, we go into that. Sure, it's true in a sense. But God cannot be put in a box. He's too big, He's too vast, He's too powerful for that. So that means that God replies and speaks to us in a way that mostly I've not expected it to happen. He can use other people to speak to us. He can use His Word. He can use His Holy Spirit to minister directly to us. And He can even use nature to answer us. He can use the television. He can use whatever He wants to speak to us. And I believe a key to success in hearing God's voice more accurately is to be in a place where you say, okay, Lord, this is what I'm asking, but I'm also laying down this expectation I have for You to answer me. Answer me in whichever way You want to. In whichever way You feel like and through whom, whatever medium You would like to do that. And then when I've done this, then mostly my eyes have opened and I could move on to the next thing and understand what it is that God has shown me. Because God is, He's all-powerful, He's vast, He's the King of kings, the King of the universe. So He can, He also has the right to reveal Himself in whichever way He wants. I don't know if you all struggle with the same thing that I do, that, oh man, I'm just so much in the way of God doing what He wants to do. There's so much of me in the picture. There's so much of me in the plans for 2014 that I'm just a stumbling block for God's plans. The more I get out of the way, the more God can just work through me. And if there is a chance that there are some of you like this here tonight, we should lay ourselves truly not only down, but get out of the way of what God wants to do. Get out of the, what can we call it? Get out of the spotlight in a sense and just give all the glory to God, because He is worthy of 100% all the glory. And then after that, Jesus went on to say, verse 11 to 13, "What father among you, if his sons ask for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" God poured out His Holy Spirit onto this earth so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and then be in a relationship with Him. As we all know, Jesus was, in a sense, very excited to leave us just so that the Holy Spirit would be poured out later. Because Jesus could only be in one place, but the Holy Spirit can be everywhere. And He is everywhere, and He is in us, and He wants to work through us. He truly is our enabler. He's our helper. He's our comforter. He's our healer. And this is the only thing that can make this whole equation work for us to become more holy and for us to walk into the will, for us to walk into the promise of what God has for 2014. If we do not have the Holy Spirit, this task would be impossible, because that means that we would have to make it happen. And we cannot make it happen. No matter how rich, how much fame, no matter how much knowledge we have, we cannot make it happen. Because God always expects the impossible from which we are capable of. And it's the only way that we can set our lives apart to bring glory and magnification to the name of the Lord. Let's also tonight ask the Holy Spirit to fill us again. Let Him be our strength. Let the Holy Spirit be our source this year of whatever we are going to take on. Because the Holy Spirit will never leave us. He will never fail us. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings us into the whole truth and the whole knowledge of who Christ is. I'm going to share a short testimony with you. I saw a lot of the guys that were part of the team from Nepal. A couple of us went to Nepal at the end of last year, November, December. And it was truly a blessed time just because we could see God move in so many ways which we don't usually see Him work in our daily lives. And this day we were in a village and we were starting with a youth conference. And youth for Nepal is anything between 18 and 35. And the sense of that is, it's truly the next generation stepping forward. The gospel has only been evangelized in Nepal for 55 years. So if you see an old man there being a pastor of the church, he would be one of the first people to hear the gospel. And then their sons are starting to take over the church, being the second generation. And now they are trusting God to equip and to raise up the youth to take things further and greater for the whole Nepal to come to the knowledge of who Christ is. So we had a youth conference. And as we were opening this conference, as I was walking to the front, God only told me one thing, and He told me Pentecost. So in a sense, I had an idea of what it is that God wanted to do that day. So it led me to ask the first question to the crowd. Who has heard of Jesus or have given your lives to Jesus? And in that whole room, no one responded. So then we started from the beginning, which is Genesis. And we spoke a bit about Jesus and God and what it is that He has come to do for us. And after sharing who Jesus is, what He has done, praise God, every single person there accepted Christ into their lives. And while praying the sinner's prayer, as I'm sure you all could imagine, just chaos filled the room as all the demons were trying to fight against what it is that God is doing. But apart from that, it all ended up with the Holy Spirit coming into the picture, bringing control and bringing life. Because the next thing in the midst of chaos, God told me, put everyone in one group because He wants to give them all their tongue in one shot. So the Holy Spirit came and everyone started speaking in tongues. And then the Holy Spirit started filling each and every single person there. The Holy Spirit is our enabler. He's our comforter. He's our healer. And then, yes, some deliverance had to happen. But all those people walked out being one completely changed from being in a place of not knowing Christ, walking out being filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, having teachings, a pastor, someone showing you, revealing the word to you is great. It is needed. But you see, when we have the Holy Spirit, in a sense, we need nothing more. Because He leads us into the mysteries and the full knowledge and truth of who Christ is. So day two, some other cool things happen, but you have to be at our Let's Go Missions feedback service to hear a lot of our testimonies. So I would like to see everyone here. Because day two was even more powerful than day one. So be there to hear the stories. But anyway, they could all walk away from there after the conference and go change the communities from whence they came because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus could do the miracles He did because of the Holy Spirit that enabled Him. And the same Spirit that was in Jesus that were in the people in Nepal is the same Spirit that is in us. Are we influencing the communities from whence we came like those people are busy influencing their communities? In most cases, it would be one person out of a whole family or village going back and having to be the change, and that is hectic. Are we being the change we need to be? Let's ask God to be that. Will it be easy? Definitely not. But will it be powerful? Definitely yes. Or the medical students are placed where they are for a reason. Or the architects are studying what they need to for a reason. Or the people working, you are placed exactly where you are for a reason. Whether you like your job or not, you are there for a reason. Let us be the change. God will never move us beyond the place where we are if we cannot fulfill the purpose for that place. He will never do that. Let's fulfill the purpose in the places for which we are and where we are planted and placed. And if the band can come to the front in the meantime, please, guys. I want to read out of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Confirm your calling and election. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of His divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. Through the knowledge of whom called us to His own glory and excellence. This is a personal knowledge of who Christ is. If we have to go way back to the way Jesus led the disciples to pray, Lord, hallowed be Your name, we have to be in a relationship with Christ. And where He says, do not lead us into temptation, is the same, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of our sinful desires. Let's aim to know God better this year. And not starting tomorrow. Let's start with it tonight. Let's give God the commitment tonight that we truly want to know Him and to be used by Him. Let's make our daddy proud this year. We can never take away from Him. We can never disappoint Him. We cannot take away glory from Him. Know what we can bring honor to His name by walking the promises and by walking into the paths which He has laid out for us. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Even though things may be daunting, big, or impossible, it is always, always good. It is always for our lives to prosper, for us to have welfare, because that is God's desire for us. God is a good father, not a bad father. And I'm sure that all the fathers that is in this room, you look at your little girl, your little boy, you only want the best. So much more God is with us. So, why don't you all stand with me tonight? Just with everyone's eyes opened. If you would like to, we're always going to pray this prayer again. If you would like to pray this prayer with me tonight and truly be serious when you say, Lord, hallowed be Your name, we give You permission to use us this year. If you are serious about this and want to pray the prayer with us, why don't you just raise your hand with me tonight? See, just by raising your hand right now, God sees that as a commitment. And God will honor that commitment, but He will also require from that. So let's start off by praying this prayer. Let's all pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're going to go into a time of worship. And before I'm going to dismiss this service, let's all just bring our lives and our year before God. And let's, in the time of worship, ask God to give us a promise, to give us a vision, to give us a word on which we can hold on to for this year. So that we can, in a year from now, look back and say, God, wow, you've even exceeded this. So let's go into a time of worship. And let's do that. And if you feel that you need any specific prayer, if you have not received Jesus in your life yet, or you feel that you want to recommit your life to Him, if you truly want to be serious about saying, God, hallowed be your name, you are more than welcome to come to the front and we will pray with you. And you can also, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit again for this year and everything in it, you are more than welcome to also come to the front and we will just pray with you for the Holy Spirit to be poured out into you fresh and new, because He is our enabler. So if you want to come to recommit your life to Jesus, you can just come to my right-hand side. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit again, for everything this year will hold in, you can come to my left-hand side. If not, just stand where you are and ask God for a promise, for a word for this year.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is